was blind, but now I see. Amen. Remain standing if you'd like to follow along in your scripture reading. I know we won't get too far along in it tonight, but we'll read from 2 Peter, verse 1 of the first chapter through verse 8 of 2 Peter. These are well familiar scriptures. We probably won't get too far in them tonight, but we'll read that as a scripture reading for tonight's message. But it'll still be on the fourth seal now, and you watch it and go back and compare the fourth seal with what we're saying of what the prophet said in the fourth seal, and how when he got to the fifth seal, he said the rapture had already come, so it has to come on the fourth seal. So we'll understand a few more things of that a little better along. I saw something the other day on that really helped me to understand, because it's not the church don't go any further than the fourth seal in time-wise. So we'll find something from the fifth, sixth, and seventh, though, that helps us. But let's just read our scripture. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto you exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your loving grace. We thank you for your word. Now may you come and speak unto us. Give us understanding ears to hear what you have to say unto us. Your people are waiting, so Lord, we wait that you'd give us the word. It's all in you anyway. It's not us. May we all just sit back tonight and see the Lord at work among his people. Forgive our sins and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Don't forget to the brothers at the ministers' meeting will be Saturday at Brother Woodby's, so we'll all be leaving the house about 9:30 going that way. If you don't have a way, then let some of us know and we'll all be leaving there. But just to get to my house, if you can get that far. And if you see any of the others that wants to go, tell them to come on. Be glad for them to go along with us and have a good time in the Lord. And that the Lord may guide each one of us. But just in our review now, as we always do, the background, what we want to speak tonight on is just put a subtitle to it. Put your fourth seal on message number 7. But it'll be How to Be a Soldier. I just write that under is your subtitle, How to Be a Soldier. Because we found this morning from the greatest battle ever fought that that's what God wanted to train us to be, as soldiers in his kingdom. And if you'll notice, he preached the greatest battle ever fought was preached March the 11th, 1962. And then the Statue of a Perfect Man was preached October the 14th, 1962. And on that one, he tells how that he saw this scripture fit into what he had been studying on to preach on that. So they'll have to tie together. And the Lord willing, that's what we want to do tonight. And then I was just reading the book after I got here today, and I thought, well, it might be timely just to go back and review some of it. We've heard the Statue of a Perfect Man years ago talk to us, and many things since then said about it, but it might be good to go back and review what the Lord has given us. So we might do that next Sunday. I don't know for sure, but we'll just leave that to the Lord. But now, where did we get to this morning? What did we find? We found from our studies that if we don't win this battle of the mind that we was talking about this morning, then There's no hopes of anybody making the rapture. Now, we can go by the grave and all like that, but there's no hopes for a rapture outside of winning the battle over Satan. All right, then we know that the greatest battle that's ever been fought, it's going on right now. Because it's carnality, or you'd say wisdom versus faith. You remember the message the prophet preached on that? Read that message. It'd be a good one to read along with what we're talking about. That wisdom versus faith. Reasonings and memories and things like that that we have in us, they have to be brought under captivity. So now, let's just watch something tonight and just remember the morning message now and what we spoke up till now, that this fourth seal shows you the literal Armageddon, you know, in Israel during the tribulation and the destruction of all the armies that come around Israel and all of the things that happens there. That's under the literal happening of the seal. But we saw there in the fourth seal, you'll read where Brother Branham said, this battle began in heaven and come down to earth, and they've been battling ever since, but will end in the fourth seal. And remember, this time we're studying the end of each seal. You remember that now? We're studying the end of each seal. So then when we've always done it, we go through what the literal seal would show, and then we back up and pick up where the church is at and what it shows to us in redemption, because we're trying to study redemption and not just to know the white horse rider was the Antichrist. That's not the seal. That'd make the Antichrist the seal. And that's not the seal. The Holy Spirit's the seal. And the Holy Spirit had that sealed up from everybody except the Lord Jesus Christ, right on down to this very prophet of the end time, taught it as the Holy Ghost until the seals broke to him. That's how deceiving it was. But then when they broke, then just for us to say, well, we know what the seals are. We know the first one is the white horse rider, and that's the Antichrist, and the second is the incarnate false prophet, and the third is how that he worked through the dark ages and kill the people, and the fourth seal's Armageddon. Boy, we know all about the seals. Well, that's not what we're trying to study, is it? It's trying to see the mystery of redemption for me and you from under that. Then we saw how Eve fell in the battle. See, she was put to a test. We covered here a while back how that we would be put to a test. And I even found it in the Stature of a Perfect Man I'm reading today that Brother Branham said, when you get patience, when God would come to that place of requiring patience, he said, then he'd try you. And he gave examples of how your patience would be tried. And I'd never seen it like that. That's why we'll go through some of the things of the Stature of a Perfect Man that the Lord would maybe reveal to us as we go along, because he told Job to go get, Noah to get in the ark. And when Noah went and got in the ark, he waited 7 days before it rained. He tried his patience. See, we're given the word sometimes, and then God tries our patience to see what we'll do. We're even told of the Lord certain things, certain ways. Then he tries our patience to see if we'll just stand right there and believe it. Well, see, that's the things maybe we want to pick up and go through it. But now, what we want to look at tonight is, we saw this morning that there's no hopes of a battle for Israel in the tribulation unless somebody can win the battle of the mind. Now, we've gone back, all the way back, see, to try to cover it as the battle of the mind for a person that was not born again, where they could see that. For a person that's born again, it needs healing or whatever you have need of, or deliverance from something. Trying to cover it in every aspect. And then you can see the battle, because we don't go over to the literal battle of Armageddon. But if we can see the battle going on now, then maybe if we can see how that battle is won over the human mind to the very beginning of it, well, surely then we can see how that death will be destroyed in the final battle for us, See, between good and evil. And then it'll go over there in the tribulation and end up by showing the literal Armageddon when it happens. So now, we found that if we don't do that, if we don't win this battle, then there's no hopes. So it all rests on whether or not we can get the channels cleaned out. Now that's what we want to talk about for a little bit, like we was talking this morning of the flus that stopped up, how this our problem is in our memory, reason, conscience, and affections and things. That's what's wrong with us. Where our trouble is that when something is said, even if it's read out of the Bible or the prophet's message, we immediately begin to reason. Our imagination or some kind of something. And in this day and hour, it's the greatest hour of imagination that you've ever seen in your life. You have in your mind, everybody has in their mind, some type of an imagination of what it will be like that will cause the rapture to come to the church or something like that. And all of those maybe are well and good, but if they don't fit the scriptures, if they don't fit the scriptures, then we've got a problem. See, because you're left then out on a limb, you don't have nothing to go on, but then more imaginations. And Brother Branham, we've talked about organizations. See, the Catholics and the Protestants coming together to fight Israel. Well, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Brother Branham said they would organize this message into Laodicea. He didn't say they'd denominate, because you won't see nobody out there with a sign saying, I'm a Branhamite, you know, rode across the door. There are little churches like this all across the world today, and they claim to be following the prophet's message. But a lot of us have already organized the message into Laodicea. And I say us because we're just all honest. We ought to be. As I said this morning, every one of those disciples sitting there said, is it I? Is it I? They were concerned about it. They were not just shouting, glory, hallelujah, ain't it glad to be in the upper room? They were concerned because their life was at stake. It doesn't say they were in the upper room after Jesus died, that about 120 of them was in the upper room having a shouting, glory, hallelujah time. Their life was at stake. They faced death for what they believed. We do too, spiritually or naturally. The last plague that strikes a Pentecostal church, and we are part of the Pentecostal church. You won't take yourself away from being part of the Pentecostal church. Pentecostal means experience. 50, experience. You want to take yourself away from that? People say, what are you? I say, well, I'm Pentecostal. By experience. I make sure that I get that across when they ask me. See, I'm Pentecostal by experience. See, because that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not Laodicea. I'm not this, that, this. Explain how you got out of being Laodicea. I've preached it here to y'all how you got out of being Laodicea, haven't you? You got to be birthed into the bright age to be out of Laodicea. Won't the rest of these preachers come up with something like that and preach how to get out? No, we're not in Laodicea. Brother Branham said they'd organize this message into Laodicea. And you look across the land out there today and you can see it. An organization says, this is it. We won't have nothing else. Is that the way the prophet said you could tell it? Well, what about the people of this message? They'll read you something. You read something. No, this is it. All I'm going to believe is this right here. All right? They organize into Laodicea. So we're not talking about nobody else no more than we're talking about the people of this message that organize into Laodicea, and they die when they organize. That's what we saw from the third seal. Then the fourth seal shows how to destroy, that they are destroyed when they come against Israel. But now just think, if we don't win this battle, no problems talking about Israel. If we don't win this battle, there's no problems about Israel. They won't have a battle. Maybe if somebody else will fight it and win it, but if we don't, here in this church, win the battle, we're not part of it. And we've got to see the enemy, and the enemy is the carnal mind, because it's always been an enmity, our division, against God. It can never be used of God, because it's contrary to God. Then we saw that the natural mind of the man, see, the natural man himself, must win that battle if he's a Christian or if he's lost, either one. He must win that battle of the mind. And we saw this morning how to win that battle was to take God's Word. And then to let God's Word come in through our channels and be like Abraham, refuse to take anything else in against that. See, to just sit down there and just refuse then. Now, I'm talking about us as Christians. You'll see when we get to the stature of a perfect man, we might cover a lot of time on faith just to see it. Because if you can't be born again, you're not even in the battle going on up, see. You're still in the battle of the mind. But when you're born again, you put Christ right there. It would be faith then, for you're a foundation to grow on. And then from there out, you fight a battle. All right, now, down through the ages, down through the ages of time, man has not understood. They preached great messages upon how to understand things, and they had great things working in their day. But where, now let's don't throw off on anybody, but let's just talk truthful. Where would Luther be with his confession of the just shall live by faith if you took him and put him in our period of time? Facing all the things we have to face out there. He would have troubles, wouldn't he? Wesley and his great confession of sanctification, where would he be in the day and hour today if he just had that? But yet looking back at him there now, those were great men for their time because they were the ones God used. And they brought a church out of there, and they will be in the rapture, that church will, and resurrection, go with us. See. But I say that because it, look back at them, you say, well now, Luther and them, boy, they used to do this, people in this message will say. Just read them histories, how them great preachers used to do those great things, and then look at me and you down here today. Well now, you think about it. What if you brought that man over to the day and let him stand here? A lot of difference, ain't it? I don't know why I'm bringing this out this way, but maybe it needs be. But you just think now that Luther and Wesley and Pentecost and all like that, if you brought them to the hour that we're living now to make them stand on the Word, what would you have? But yet back there now, they back there in their time were great warriors of faith. It would be easy to take this message today and go back to Luther's age with it and preach a message from the Bible to those people in Luther's age. This church would be filled in 2 minutes. You couldn't fill the city of Lula, wouldn't hold the people that would gather in 1 week from the time you started preaching this type of message that we have here in the end time. Because you could tell man how to control those things that he has. He didn't understand how to control it. Yet he taught these things out of the Bible, but yet still he didn't have any understanding because that understanding of a lot of things had been lost. to the church. All right, now, but yet, watch now, they were Christians. They had the battle of the mind. They had won the battle of the mind to bring them to be Christians. They had allowed the word to come through their senses down into their soul and became a Christian. Now what we want to do is find out how to control these things that give us the trouble that they didn't understand how to control them. And I hope you understand what I'm saying about it. That if you brought them over here, they'd have more trouble than me and you's got. But to take us back there with the word that's been brought in our day and preach it to them there, what if Brother Branham had come in Luther's age and brought that message? A man like Luther, that it's recorded that he had all the gifts working among him and all, but you don't have nothing there that a prophetic gift was standing there. The world would have been at his feet. Because it was the day and the hour of blooming out of the church and Wesley coming with sanctification, a great message of holy living, righteous living, see, morally good. Those people fought the battle of the mind and won it and became Christians. You and I have had to fight the same battle. Then it's not hard to see how to win the rest of the battle. If you're born again tonight, you know how you fought the battle to get there. I remember some of your battles. I've been with you a while. I remember some of the things some of you went through. Praying and seeking God. And then see you come through the battle. And win the battle of the mind. All right, now what we want to do now is we want to take up from just that battle of the mind that you win that battle of the mind and become a Christian. And we want to go upward now to learn to control those things that have been giving us so much trouble. Now, before we could come to the true revelation of the seals, there is a place that the church must come to. There's a position that we must reach before we can talk about the real understanding of the seals. As I said, Luther's age got in the body, Wesley's age got in the body, Pentecostal age got in the body. None of those people knew what this scripture we read tonight actually meant. They maybe read the scripture, they maybe preached the message, or messages from those things. But they couldn't understand what had happened, or what that channel was there, because these scriptures that we read in 2 Peter are scriptures to show us how to be soldiers of God. They, then back there, didn't know how. And I put it like this in my notes, the best word I could find, that we as mankind had fell away from the economy of God. You know, God has an economy. We can talk about economy. That's a modern word that our children can understand. On the day of Pentecost, you had a group of people that started out with called the Faith of the Fathers. And they begin to preach and they'd say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. They had great faith. Then we look at the church today and we say, what's wrong with the church today? Why is God not working among the church as he worked in the early church? Well, see, then there's something that the early church had in understanding in the scriptures, because you can only be in power with God according to your knowledge of the scripture. And that pattern was lost, how to become a manifested son. But there's a place there in that manifestation called the faith of the fathers, and everybody quotes Malachi 4, we're to be turned back to the faith of the fathers. All right, then according to the prophet, watch what he said. 327, 328, I forgot to bring into the church age book, but you know it well enough to quote it. that this prophet in the end time would do two things. He would turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. That's number one. Two, he would preach the revelation contained the seven thunders, the revelation contained in the seven seals, and it'll be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. All right, then you and I will say, like, we're so far back away from God. Luther was a Christian, Wesley was a Christian, Pentecostals were a Christian, we were Christians, some of us. Some were not born again, I wasn't, I was still lost then, when the prophet was preaching. But some were Christians then, some of you maybe were. But we were so far back away from God's real understanding of the Scriptures until he had to send a prophet now. And the prophet would preach 30-something years, preach the seals, preach the statue of perfect man, preach the seals, went on preaching all of those great things. But from that statement there that I just quoted from the Church Age book, we see that it would take the revelation of the seals to turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. Read it when you get home and see if that's not what he's saying. None of us would have been able to come to the faith of the fathers. The prophet was, because the husbandman must be first partakers of the fruit before he could preach it. All right, then in being partakers of the fruit, he was a prophet. The word could come to him, and he could be turned back and then tell us how to go back. Now, what was the scripture we read and started off? What was it that Paul said? He said, now, I want to bring you a message this morning. I want to tell you something. What was he going to tell them? The disciples had walked with Jesus. You know the message. They had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years and been tutored by the Lord Jesus in his ministry for 3.5 years. Then when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, on 120 of them in the upper room, it made them, now not the rest of them, it made them that day manifested sons. The word had been taught. You could say, well, maybe the 12 were manifested sons. I'm not going to argue with you. That'd still do away with Church of Christ saying nobody didn't have it. If you just want to say the 12 were taught and tutored and they were manifested sons, that's all right. You still got a manifested son standing there. You understand my background? You still got one standing there, so the Church of Christ would be wrong when they say they ain't nobody got the Holy Ghost. See? All right, then the 120, the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell, you had a manifested son. Now everybody from then on, now watch, those were full grown men. Just like when God created Adam, he didn't create him a baby and let him grow up to be a man. Now did he? He created him a full grown man. When the church started on the day of Pentecost, it didn't start out with a bunch of babies. God didn't put the control in the hands of a bunch of babies. It was put into the hands of manifested sons who had been taught and tutored. But those after them started at where? Everybody after them started right here at the bottom of your pyramid called faith. The born-again experience. But that's what Paul is doing now in your reading. Paul is telling us how to become a soldier for God or how to have a divine nature. Now, as I said, we saw this morning that there was a battle. And in that battle, we saw it was a battle of the mind. And if we could go through the battle of the mind and get the soldier, the Holy Ghost, in here, then we've got God on our side to do the fighting. See, we've got him in there. Yet he is hindered by these senses. And he is controlled by those senses. He can only work that way. He's hindered by those senses. All right, then man didn't know how to control those senses down through the ages. That was my point a while ago. See, nobody knew how to control those senses. So it would take a prophet, and the Apostle Paul was a prophet in his day and time, and he preached the message to tell us how to control these senses. Now, that's what he's talking about. See, the two messages are the greatest battle ever fought. One of them shows you the carnality of man, showing you the flu stopped up and all, and how you got to take the word and let it clean out the flus and get away from your reasoning, your memories, your conscience and effects and all. Get away from that. Then here comes the stature of a perfect man, showing you that if you can get rid of it by asking God and letting Him do it now. You can't do it yourself. But asking Him and letting Him do it, He'll not only clean it out, as I said this morning, but He'll replace it with something. God never cleans nothing out, just leaves it that way. He replaces it, kind of like at home. We've got a rotation on junk. We bring it in the front door and we keep it a while, and then we take it out in the back room, and then we take it from the back room down to the building. Well, at the same time, we're having to move stuff out of the back room. When it leaves the living room into the back room, we've got to move the back room stuff to the building and take stuff out of the building to the garbage. I say it's all junk, but that's basically just for the point. But God never now cleans out nothing that He don't replace it. When He takes something out of you, He'll give you something in the place of it. Now, using scriptures to show you, you've got love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, long-suffering. That's the same thing as saying the stature of a perfect man, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and all. You've got the same scripture there talking about that. But when He takes out hate, what does He give you? Love. See, when God takes hate out of you, He doesn't just leave you. He replaces that with love. But now, as I said, tie the two messages together now, this morning and tonight together, and see that those flus stopped up. If we can just take God's Word, and just believe what the Word says, then He'll do the work. I saw something when I was reading that a while ago that I had never seen since I'd started in the message. I'll explain it to you later. I had never seen it that way. I'd always looked at it as something impossible to attain unto. Something I saw that I didn't think anybody could ever attain unto. But when I saw it rightly a while ago, then I saw that people had already attained unto it. And we had missed it. Because it'll come out just like the seals. It's got to be that simple. It's got to be able to attain unto it, or God wouldn't have said it. Now, that's just truth. But now just think now. There's a place there called the faith of the fathers that you and I must attain unto. Before you can talk about death being destroyed. The church must attain unto the faith of the fathers before the fourth seal revelation can be understood of how death will be destroyed. Now, I just proved that to you with what I showed you from the prophet, that the church had fell so far away, then it would take the revelation of the seals to bring us back to the faith of the fathers. Just to bring us back there would take the seals opening to us. Everybody's fought me about the seals ever since I started preaching them, but they had better consider that statement right there. That the seals must break, maybe just partial realization to you, and start from there and come up. But they must break to you before you can turn back to the faith of the fathers. You will not be turned back to the faith of the fathers, then the seals break. That cannot be. The prophet said it, I believe him, that it would be these divinely revealed mystery truths, the seven thunders, which were the revelations contained in the seven seals, it would be that would turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. I believe him, not you. If anybody hears that and wants to argue with it, because that's where I make my basis. I told a man the other day, I said, my eternal life, my hope and all is based on this message. My life, my goal, my all in all is based on whether Brother Brown's message was right. If he was wrong, I'll go to hell with him, because I base it on that, because I can see his in the Bible. I can't see these others in the Bible. I can't find these other things in the Bible. But I can find his message in the Bible. The Lord has been gracious to me to grant that. All right, now think with me. It'll be the opening of the seals that will bring a church there. So now watch what I said. When God comes in here and you're a Christian, some of these flues might be stopped up, some of these places. But let the Holy Spirit do the work. Feed him the word. The prophet has taught us that the Holy Ghost is in our soul waiting on us to bring him the word. Let that word come down through all of these things. Come to the center part into your soul. And then we'll find out later when you get the statue of permanent, it will come out automatically. Until then, you're like a peacock, a buzzard, that sticks peacock feathers in him and struts around and says, I'm a peacock. Now that's what you're talking. That's the basis of it. What would a buzzard look like running around on the ground with a couple of feathers in his strut and saying, look at me, I'm a peacock. Everybody knows better. But him. He ought to know, but everybody knows better but him now. But just think now. The scripture we read will show us how God will clean out these channels. And you watch every virtue now. When we come to it, you'll see that it's a revelation of the word. The only way you can clean out them channels is take the word. That's what we've been trying to get you to see. Take God's word and not man's and not your memory, not your reasoning, not anything. And the Bible says, by his stripes here, he'll say, amen. You get sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker, still say, amen. You come back to me later and say, I was prayed for, but Brother Dale, I say, you ain't got faith. Now that's what Brother Branham said to the people. I'm coming to a place that finally I can talk honestly to you, maybe. If I hurt your feelings, I've run off the world, seems like hurting their feelings, so I don't reckon I got much else to lose than just talk plain. You tell me, well, I know I believe the word, but I'll tell you like Brother Branham told that little girl when she said, sure, Brother Branham, I believe if God can heal Georgia Carter, he can heal me. He said right then, he said, you do not have faith. Now you can tell me, sure, I believe the message and I believe this, but, then I'll tell you, you ain't got faith. Just stop that. You've got it clogged up here somewhere and get it straight in the word, then it'll be right. You still me a person now that would tell you, say, yeah, I know I'm a Christian, but I still do this and I do that and I do this and I do that. You'd say right then, say, wait a minute, now you ain't a Christian. Because a Christian don't do that. Ain't that true? Wouldn't that be the way you'd say it? You'd say, you're not a Christian because a Christian don't do that. Well now, a Christian don't act like that. But see, as these things here are brought under control of our memories and things, by the word coming in that we allow to come in, we have something to do with that. We are the gate. The mind opens up, lets the word in. You can close your mind. It's kind of like a woman one time I remember seeing in a movie, or a man that he had a hearing aid, he couldn't hear, and somebody said something to him, he just cut it off. He just got up and walked outside, and it happened to be in the jungles of Africa where he's walking. He just cut his hearing aid off. Well, he didn't hear the tiger that killed him. See, we have the ability to accept the word or reject the word. That's left up to us. We hear it, we read it, but we have the ability to accept it or reject it. That's called free moral agency. Left up to us then. It's not God's fault because we go to hell. We go over the cross to get there. There's not a person in hell that didn't go over the cross to get there to it. There's not a person in the world that God didn't offer something to him to change him somewhere. Even in the days of Noah, when Jesus wasn't even there, he came to him when he went to him in prison there and told him about it. Of course, he couldn't come out because they had done made their choice. See, they'd done turned down the word of their hour. But now, you just think now. From the time, let's pick it up, instead of just staying with baby things and going backwards and forth that God will do this, if you'll do that, we need to believe the word. Let's start upward now in the stature of a perfect man and see if we can reach the place in our understanding and finally attain unto that place, not just talk about it, of call the faith of the fathers. See, let's study that from there. So we saw the church start as full grown. But yet everybody after then started as a baby. And he must grow. Now a baby, does a baby just sit down and boy grows to be 6 foot tall and weighs 200 pounds and he never eat a bite. That'd be a funny baby, wouldn't it? That's what we're talking about over here now. If the church can't control these senses and let it be done by the word, then you'll never come up the stature of a perfect man. You're out. Forget it. See, we've got to get away from what man says and take what God says. See, then the church starts out. Paul said, now I want to show you a way. Let me just paraphrase all of this scripture here that he said about four verses of it and all coming on down. How to escape the corruption of the world and all these things and all coming down. Let me just paraphrase it in this way. He said, all right, now you see the church and you see how it started on the day of Pentecost with us full-grown sons. Now I want to tell you how to become a full-grown son. I'm talking to you. Now watch what he said. Brother Brown said, this scripture is not to the world. Read ye stature of perfect man. This scripture is not to the world. It's to the Christian that's in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm talking to a bunch of people. In other words, the babies where the Holy Ghost had fell like 5,000 or 3,000 of them on the day of Pentecost, you know, when Peter got through preaching. All those were babies, had to grow in grace and knowledge. All the converts Paul saw there, like at Ephesus and the ones that was John's followers, you know, and then he talked about the Holy Ghost. He said, now I'm telling you a message now how to become a full-grown son like that I am. And watch what he said. He said, I'm writing this to those that have obtained like precious faith. Now, he wasn't writing that letter to people who had the faith of the fathers like he had it. Now watch what he's saying. He said, I'm writing this to those that have obtained like precious faith. And then I'm going to show you how to come to the place of having the faith of the fathers like I've got. In other words, he was saying. So he's writing it to Christians that were born again at faith. We'll dwell more on that later, but I want you to just catch that point. And he says, now I want you to see that. All right, now, if you're born again tonight, you was just born again yesterday or tonight or whenever. I'm talking tonight to those that have obtained like precious faith. I'm talking about the faith of the fathers now. I'm talking about the ones that have obtained the like precious faith that you're born again. You're a babe in Christ. Now, how does a baby grow? The Bible talks about growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Well, how old are you in the Lord? I'm about 10 years. Well, I hadn't read my Bible in 10 years, but I'm really growing in grace and knowledge. Now, you know better than that, don't you? You know that ain't right. You see a 6 foot, 200 pound, 18-year-old boy standing there and say, how'd you get that away? Well, I ain't eat a bite yet. That's what the Pentecostal people Now watch what I'm saying. Brother Branham said the Pentecostal people had the same like precious faith that Paul was speaking of. The Azusa Street Pentecostal people, 1906, received the same baptism of the Holy Ghost that Paul had. Now that's what he said about it. You'd have to argue with him. Not as the faith of the fathers, no. But the same Holy Ghost Paul had, because there's only one Holy Ghost. Then when you're born again, you've got the same like precious faith. But what went wrong with the Pentecostal Azusa Street people? He said they thought they had everything. But he said where they failed was that they didn't grow in grace and knowledge of the Scriptures. What did they grow up to be then? A deformed 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old baby. Given that as age brackets of people. There are some maybe still there. And you sit down at the table and they'd out-eat you anytime. And here I'd be, I'd eat just a little bit and getting fatter and fatter, and they can eat all they want to and don't get fat. Well, you know, we don't have to worry about God. We ain't going to get too fat. We might be naturally too fat from overeating, but we're not going to get too fat in God. So a child, he eats the Word, growing in grace and knowledge. And as he does, he comes up this pyramid. Virtue to knowledge and temperance and patience, godliness and brotherly kindness. And you know, all the time that God is adding those things, these over here are becoming under control. They're coming to a place of being controlled. Where once you had an uncontrollable temper because of your memory, reason, affection, that it finally comes to a place that your temper is no longer there. That temperance, if you looked it up in Webster's dictionary, it might mean stop drinking alcohol, but that's not Bible temperance. See, Bible temperance is to control your temper. Now, as God adds things to us, it's because we accept them. Then as we accept them, we become soldiers. But to be a rightful soldier, you don't want doubt in here, do you? That don't make you a soldier. That makes you Satan's soldier. Put faith in there makes you a born-again Christian like this. All right? Then in that, we... See, watch the two messages now. I don't want to go too far because I want to pick it up later and we'll see more about it. But I want you to see, watch the two messages tie together now. The greatest battle ever fought shows you that there is a battle going on in your brain. Your memory, reason, conscience, and affections, all you see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, they're all there working. God wants us to get away from that, we found this morning. He wants us to take the Word and believe what God says, regardless of what anything else says. And to stand on that Word and believe what He says about it. Then the first thing you know, He said memory, reason, conscience, and affections, and those see, taste, feel, smell, hear, they're fine if they go along with the Word. But if they don't and go contrary to it, resist them. Then we see from this message of the stature of perfect man that God adds to us something. And after a while, you find the person no longer acting like they used to act. See, something's happening to the person. Now, what we look at, and I'll just say it this way. We look at a person and we think that if you ever got mad one time, then that means you ain't a Christian. you know, if you got angry about what something was done, the Bible says be angry and sin not. It don't say keep on being mad now. It just says be and sin. Jesus got angry when he caught the people in the temple using it wrongly. He took a whip and run them out. The kind old priest would have been standing there saying, he sure ain't no Christian or he wouldn't get mad. Now you can't argue stupidity with the Word of God. Brother Branham, I'll show you on the Statue of a Perfect Man if you like it. I kind of believe he had it, don't you? I can show you on here where he said that man that was ridiculing him, he said, man, I wanted to get a hold of him. I didn't want nobody else to. Brother Branham, you don't have what you're supposed to have. Now, we're not stupid. But yet stupidity runs in the ranks of the reasonings. And the reason I'm just saying that is just to get that out of the people's mind. They might see Brother Dale sometimes rake you down in the spirit and get a little angry at you. You know, it could be the Holy Spirit do that. It could be me now. But it could be the Holy Spirit. Then, what are you going to say? You say, yes, but Brother Branham loved people when he said it. When he told that woman that her doctrine was as thin as a soup made off of a shad of a chicken that starved death. Now, that was ridiculing that woman to the lowest degree. You know, we love Brother Branham for saying it because we're on the other side. What if you'd have been on the other side of him saying it? You would have thought, he don't have no love. He surely don't have no patience. When he said on the Statue of a Perfect Man, he said, you say to me, Brother Branham, how can you do that? How can you wait on this church? He said, for 33 years I've waited patiently, seeing women bobbing their hair and painting their face and walking away. Said, waiting. He said, why? He said, because I've got patience. But yet we would think he didn't have no patience the way he screamed sometimes on the tape. And he didn't have no love. But love is corrective. It took the Lord to show that. I was trying to help people the simple, soft way and thought I was loving them when I was hating them. And finally, the Lord said, put it out straight. You've only got filial love for them. Since then, I've preached different. Because now I'm preaching trying to save your soul. If I have to tell you what you're doing wrong to save your soul, then I have to tell you. You still won't see Brother Dale like these, boy, just beat hammering and something. Because I don't believe that. I believe what the prophet said on the greatest battle ever fought. He said, I've been misunderstood about altar calls. You remember what he said in here about? He said, I've been misunderstood about altar calls. He said, not that you're not supposed to make them. He said, I make them. But said he had made a statement, and then people about a Methodist altar call, things where it was put into me. He said, now, if I had time to explain that, I'd draw it out on the board and show you. He said, don't try to deal with them in their reasoning. See, I've not tried. You notice lately? I've not tried the things I used to try to reason with you. I'm saying it a little straighter now. I'm not trying to reason with you. I'm not trying to work on your affections that mama was a good woman, granny was a good woman. Your daddy, he's dead and not alive now, and he was a good man, and you want to go to heaven to be with him. That's working right here. That doesn't make a Christian. That doesn't make a child of God when I reason with you and get you to come to the altar and I pray with you and you get a good sensational feeling running all over you. You shout, speak in tongues, and all of the things maybe that you'd do. That doesn't make a Christian. All of those are in the senses. You're only a Christian from the inside. Brother Branham says, why does it work on some and not on others? He said, because they clear the channels and let the Word come in. Why do people get this message and some won't? I just caught this the other day on predestination. You know, there are some that will accept the Word, and there's some that won't. The others, they'll reason away on it and deform it. But there are some that'll take the Word, and they don't know why or how come or what's going on, but they just stand there with the Word and say, you know, I believe what's said. You know, I don't understand why, but I believe that. And you know, God can come to that. And then I'm not trying to deal with you in reasonings and memories and things and telling you, like Brother Malk says, the Baptists, and they're bad to do it, you know that. They'll take you like a winnie and fry you over hell. They'll dangle it over you every service. If you don't get saved, you're going to hell. You're going to burn eternally and all this, that, and the other. There's no need of doing that. You can't scare nobody into being a Christian. You might scare them into coming to church. That just makes them a twofold child of hell that did start with. And what the Bible says makes a proselyte out of them. A proselyte's not a Christian. Christian that takes the Word in there and somebody says, that ain't it, that ain't it, that ain't it. I don't care what you say. I can't explain it. I don't know what happened, but I just tell you. The Word of God's in my heart now, and I love Him, and I don't love any of the rest of it. It's gone. Lord, now help me with the rest. Let the Word come down through, and then as you do, you'll see God start adding things back to it. He'll start adding things to us that will build us to a place of a stature of a perfect man. And if you can see that, then I'm withholding some things so that we can go on and preach to it and you'll catch it. But if you can watch that, if you'd study the stature of a perfect man, you ought to see how death would be destroyed. It's right there in the message. It's in plain language. If you can see how death's destroyed under the force, and we've done preach that, then if you'll take the statue of a perfect man, you can see an identical thing happening to us that happened to Israel, and death will be destroyed. Now let's tell you that before I get to it. It's right there in the message. The prophet's already preached it to us. We don't need another message. We don't need all these types and shadows and time running out and the world's going to end next year and this is going to happen this way or going to end this year or something. As I said, I've got a drawing back there. You're welcome to look at it after church. The man sent it to me and it shows 1983 to be the year 2000. Proved it by Brother Branham. It shows that we've had 200 years from the British release, I think it says, of the United States. Be 200 years, 1983. Takes all them things. Get down there, 1933 to 1983, be 50 years. 50 is a jubilee. Well, he's got it all down black and white. But God didn't tell me that. You say, yeah, but the Lord told me this and told me that. I say, amen, I believe you. But he didn't tell me. You say, this is the way I believe it. And all I say, amen. Praise the Lord, brother. That's your belief. But he didn't tell me that. He told me to do just what I'm doing. He said, plant the Word in the people. And I'll make it live. Get the Word planted. Get the people's mind in the right channel. And I'll come and I'll make it live. I'll take you into rapture. He hasn't told me to preach dates and times and seasons and these things. He's told me just to preach on. Now, whatever told me that. It's just like Brother Woodby talking about the deer that he was preaching here about. I told him in. I said, the Lord ain't told me that you'll get the deer. But I said, and I see that's what you're preaching and I'm trying to preach, will bring a person to the place that they can believe for whatever they have need of, whether it be deer, squirrel, bear, car, home, or anything. The message cannot be brought down into little bitty things and so small that we don't receive something from it. There's a benefit. It's just as I said, the rapture is not the seventh seal. The seventh seal is the coming of the Lord this way. The rapture is the benefits of Him being here. When He comes here, He's going back. When He goes back, I'm going with Him. That's the benefits of it. Healing for your bodies, that's not the salvation. The salvation is when you're born again and the healing comes because you are that and you can receive it from that and accept it. That's the benefit. The walking through the rooms of the penny arcade that was explained to us by the prophet, that's the benefits of being able to get in the penny arcade and owning it. The rapture comes because the Lord has come here. And when He goes back, He takes a church with Him. So think on it now. The mind. Make sure you get what I'm saying now. The mind. The brain of a person. That brain of that person controls what you hear. Your memory, reason, conscience, and all in your spirit works through that brain that you have. It controls those things. If we can come through that down to the soul and get born again, then now, I said this morning, I'm not talking about the mind of Christ at all. You remember that? So we're talking about the brain. But then, watch now. Then when you're born again, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. And say you took on the brain of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. The soul is where you think. You don't think. See, with this part of the body, there's not no thinking ability. This is memory, conscience, and all. That's not thinking ability. You think with your soul. The Bible says that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You think with your soul then. So whatever's in you tonight, whether it be faith or doubt, that's how your thinking is. Faith or doubt. One or the other is there. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, that's faith. And Him being there, you know what that makes you then? You then have the mind of Christ. But you're just a baby in Christ and you can only think as a baby in Christ thinks. See, what we want to do one of these days, church, is come to the place that all of these things can be controlled of God. That our own brain, when somebody says something, will just close the door. Because the Word is inside saying, I have the mind of Christ. Now, when the mind of Christ can come all the way out through the person and control every faculty of the person, then you see a church ready for the rapture. The mind of Christ will have to be, when the headstone comes, it brings the true mind of Christ to the church because your brain, mind, is in your head and He's the head. Now, that gives you an idea of where we're going. See, the head of the church is Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ down in here, if we'll just let Him just control all of these senses. Now listen, you'll never come to a place that you won't think wrong until you leave this world. We'll be a cuckabird until as long as we're in this world. You'll never come. Don't think I'm teaching that we're going to have control of our mind and we never think a dirty thought. I just told you the prophet of God misunderstood God. Done things that was not right. You see, because we've got trouble with them. The reason Jesus didn't do anything wrong was because Jesus was virgin born, and all of these flus from the very beginning was left clean. He wouldn't listen to Satan from the beginning because he was God. When he was 13 years old, he was talking to the high priest there and confounding him with the wisdom he had of the Bible. He wouldn't accept none of Satan's reasoning. Read your greatest battle ever fought. He wouldn't accept none of Satan's reasoning. He took the word. Then when it come to his resurrection, he was still taking the word. I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. That brought the Lord Jesus right back out of the grave. But just think now. When you get the mind of Christ as a baby, start letting it grow. Feed it the Word. Don't feed it vulgar magazines, filthy garbage. We've got enough of that in natural living without having to accept all the other things. Feed it the Word. The Bible told us, let's stand together, the Bible was told back there to the children of Israel, said, now these commandments, take them, and when you're on your bed at night, think upon them. And when you're doing all of the things, think upon them. You know where the problem came? The people quit thinking on God. The Bible said they, what it was, sat down to eat and rose up to play. They didn't have nothing else to do. God guided them through the wilderness 40 years and fed them every day. They didn't have nothing else to do, so they just got to the place. Looks like it had got to the place that they would have just studied the Word all day because they didn't have nothing else to do. They just got up and eat. Now the Bible says they sat down to eat and rose up to play. Think all day long on the Word. And then at night when you wake up, you won't wake up with your mind in the wrong channel. You wake up with it in the right Word, in the Word. And you'll see a lot of things change around you. I've seen God bring General Motors to their knees. A plant that big that could have fired me in a half a minute because I told them I was walking out the door to go to one of the sister's funeral. I said, I'm going out the door at lunch. You can do what you want to. He put a whole plant to a screeching halt and brought a woman from home all the way to work to take my place. They met me on the way out the door and says, go on home. We got it all set up. I said, that's where it's going anyway. God will control anything that you have problems with if you'll just let Him do it now. But you try to figure it out. You'll reason it out. Go to work tomorrow and use your imagination, conscience, and memory. General Motors has a man down there by the name of Cannon. It's the plant manager. And you know, he said that he never went into, he told Al Kennard, Brother Kennard there in Atlanta, he said that he never went to a business meeting that they were to have a discussion of plant-wide, you know, and things, until he first sat down and read some chapters in his Bible. Well, I'll tell you what, so that helped me in the natural, I know. Because you get that word down in there, and when you go to that meeting, it wouldn't matter what they pop to you, the answers will be there. Your thoughts will be in the right channel, everything will fit. You go down there in your own ways, and you'll go on your own. That natural man, I don't even know where he claims to be a Christian or not. He just said that he always read his Bible before he went to a meeting. The Lord wants to help us. If we just let Him. Now let's just think on that. Let's just think on these things. Set your goal for this year. To be that you'll keep your mind on God instead of the world so much. Let's just sing a verse of or two of They Come from the East and West. It's number 3 in that Only Believe book. And if anyone has a need, the altar's open. But let's just sing this unto the Lord. And think on these things. As God takes out, He'll always fill. And bring something back into place. They come from the East and West. They come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guests. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding His hallowed face, aglow with light divine. Blessed partakers of His grace, as gems in His crown to shine. Since Jesus has set me free, I'm happy as heart can be. No longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was as black as night.
The old one, that one.
But darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has set me free. I look on the great white throne, before it the ransomed stand. No longer are tears, nor sorrow is known, nor death in that goodly land. My Savior has gone before, preparing the way for me. Soon we'll meet to part no more, through time or eternity.
Listen now.
Since Jesus has set me free, I'm happy as heart can be. No longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me.
Do you remember it?
My soul was as black as night, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has set me free.
Sing the lies now.
Oh, Jesus is coming soon. Our trials will then be o'er. Oh, if our Lord this moment should come for those who are free from sin, then would it bring you joy or sorrow and deep despair? When our Lord in glory comes, we'll meet Him up in the air.
Wow, you meet Him.
Since Jesus has set me free,
turn and shake hands with one another.
Happy as heart can be. No longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was as black as night, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has set me free.
Amen. You're dismissed. Just may the Lord bless you and take care of you on your way home.